find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is meeting right now to consider if embattled Administrator Megan Wolf should have to face a Senate hearing to be reconfirmed. Pete Schwabe reports.
The commission this summer voted to renominate Wolf to a new term. Republicans voted for Wolf's reappointment. The three Democrats abstained. The Democrats maintain the deadlock means Wolf keeps the job indefinitely. But the Republican-controlled state Senate passed a resolution to make Wolf subject to the confirmation process. Republicans have made Wolf the face of what they consider problems with Wisconsin's election system, although Wolf never made any of those decisions. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Today marks the first anniversary of the bipartisan Inflation Reduction Act. Among other things, it's brought health care costs down for small businesses. It's also creating new clean energy jobs.
That you're going to see effects for the next decade continue to happen. So I think the positive sides are jobs are absolutely there. Pay is up. Inflation is coming down.
Congressman Mark Pocan spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. A pioneer for equality for women and Native Americans in Wisconsin and across the country has died. Brittany Merlot has more now on the life of Ada Deer.
Ada Deer was the first woman to lead the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs. She was the first woman to be chair of the Menominee Nation. And she was the first Native American woman to run for Congress in Wisconsin. Deer was instrumental in restoring federal recognition for her tribe and also fought for the sovereignty of all indigenous nations. Deer died last night. She was 88 years old. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Seven Red Cross volunteers from Wisconsin are helping with wildfire relief efforts in Hawaii. They're helping evacuees with food, shelter, and counseling. They'll be gone for 3 weeks. Parts of Wisconsin are forecast to see highs in the 90s again next week. Pet owners are urged to get ready. Here's Mike Moan.
Kristen Schrank of the Wisconsin-based group Alliance for Animals says in general, ripple effects from a warming planet pose threats in a variety of ways.
We're experiencing extreme heat and cold, wildfires, smoke, and poor air quality. So this is not only impacting, you know, humans on the planet and their companion animals, but it's also impacting wildlife.
For summer heat, Schrank says pet owners should always keep fresh and clean water accessible, along with a shady spot. For those with a yard, she says enhancing landscaping, such as adding trees or shrubs, is helpful. Cooling mats for dogs are another option. I'm Mike Moen.
There's a new website to help people track drought conditions in Wisconsin. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. A lawsuit over an open records request for the Eau Claire Area School District is dismissed after the district completed the request 2 months after it was made. The lawsuit was filed by Wisconsin Institute of Law and Liberty on behalf of a parent in the district that wanted a transcript of an announcement made to orchestra students on June 5th about a teacher's transition from male to female. The district initially denied the request because they were investigating whether the teacher violated school policy and said that staffing was limited in the summer to handle the request. Haymarket Landing in Eau Claire is up for sale as Foxconn attempts to sell multiple Wisconsin properties. The technology company had announced 5 years ago that the downtown location would be the host to an innovation center employing 150 people. The building is near the confluence and the price tag is $2.7 million. Foxconn said that it is selling the buildings to focus on development in Mount Pleasant in southeastern Wisconsin. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that there's a chance of severe weather later today across northwestern Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Patriots have come to town. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp here in Green Bay, where joint practice sessions are underway with New England. I asked head coach Bill Belichick about facing the Packers this week.
It's a team that's, you know, had a lot of success, won more games than any team in the NFC in the last 5 years. So it's a really solid program, well-coached, pretty well-balanced team. So it's a good week for us. Look forward to it.
Former Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott made the trip with the team and signed his one-year deal worth $6 million.
Yeah, good to have Zeke. Yeah, we had a good visit with him, and I look forward to working with him. You know, spent time with him last night and on the trip, you know, terminology and plays and protections, things like that.
Matt LaFleur says it was Green Bay who initiated this week's joint practice session.
Pretty sure that we reached out I mean, it's no secret. He's highly regarded as one of the greatest coaches of all time. So why not try to steal a little piece from how they do things and just get a closer look at it.
On special teams, Green Bay rookie place kicker Anders Carlson had a horrible field goal attempt during the two-minute drill that floated and flopped wide left about 12 yards shy of the goalpost. It was a good day, though, overall for quarterback Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just focusing on getting better every day. I'm where I'm at, but I'm always trying to focus on improving every day. There's always little things that, you know, I'm trying to work on every day.
College football, the Badger star running back Braylon Allen was asked how many receptions would he like to make this season. He said, 50.
Lonzo asked me how many catches I wanted this year. I think I said like 50. So I guess like four or five a game would be ideal for me.
Baseball, is the Brewers and the Dodgers tonight in L.A. The Brewers losing last night to the Dodgers 6-2. Craig Counsell after the game.
You know, you got to play a good game to beat them. You know, I feel like we're as good as anybody. That part of our game and our team is something that has won us a lot of games. We just didn't execute it tonight.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Morning. You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Dama Hump Day Edition. Feeling good up in here. Always great to have our friend Scott Ross, Gemini Firebrand. Always great when he comes around. Thank you for doing so, Scott. And if you missed him, you can find him on the podcast at thecivicmedia.us. Go to the show page and find the greatest radio show ever. I think they got us listed under the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. But Dom, I got to tell you.
What?
I am enthusiastic to report as we start this fine hour.
Yeah?
We got a trial date ask in Fulton County, and it's coming pretty quick. Fulton County DA, that's the Fawny Willistown, seeking a March 4th trial date in the Trump case. Now, I had seen people dismissing, poo-pooing it, but she's being very considerate in many regards, Dom. Let me read a little from thehill.com. Fulton County District Attorney Fawny Willis is requesting a March 4th start date to the trial of former President Trump and 18 co-defendants over an alleged plot to subvert the state's 2020 election results and keep Trump in power. Now, Willis also proposed that their arraignments occur during the week of September 5th, you know, after Labor Day, writing that the defendants would be notified of their arraignment date at least 5 days in advance, according to a new court filing. She said, dates would not conflict with Trump's other legal matters. Well, I've got a statement here from the ever-considerate Fawny Willis, Tom. In light of defendant Donald John Trump's other criminal and civil matters pending in the courts in our sister and sovereigns, the state of Georgia proposes certain deadlines that do not conflict with these other courts' already scheduled hearings and trial dates, Willis wrote in the filing. Now, the trial start date will ultimately be decided by a judge. In the Trump New York hush money case, the trial date is set for March 25th. The federal case probing his retention, you know, the classified documents, the paperwork crimes, Dom. Well, that's set to begin May 20th in Florida. And a date has not been set for the federal trial in D.C. over his actions. You know, the January 6th, losing the whole 2020 election, Dom, but special counsel Jack Smith proposed a start date of January 2nd. I like that one best, Dom. Start the new year. When announcing the charges Monday, Willis said her office would request a trial date, a start date within the next 6 months, and intended to try all 19 co-defendants together, signaling her office would not waste time. We do want to move this case along, she said. Yes, with alacrity. Make it imminent. Keep it moving, as they say, Dom.
Just to recap, Crudy, Trump faces 13 new charges in Georgia, alleging the former president violated the RICO statute and a number of other criminal statutes in Georgia. Those charges include solicitation of violation of oath of office by a public officer, as well as several conspiracy charges related to filing fraudulent documents, forgery, and making false statements. The indictment outlines more than 160 acts that prosecutors allege Trump and 18 other lawyers, aides, allies, and affiliates committed in furtherance of that conspiracy.
Indicted and unindicted co-conspirators, Dom.
Lots of them. Come on. I mean, this... Now we're here, right? Now, I remember, you know, when we first started talking about all the possibilities and the headwind, you know, that Trump and his campaign could possibly face. Well, now we, that was before any of these trials were set, before anything happened. Well, now we see it kind of laying out. Now we know the timelines. Now we know what's happening. And granted, these are probably, as many of our expert guests have told us, more wish lists than anything. But no matter how you slice it, how you dice it, how is Trump going to manage it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is something going on every month and above and beyond the day job. And that's assuming nothing else comes down. And I'm not sure that we're done.
We're not even done for this segment, Dom. Here's some of the new breaking news in regards to the indictments. Mark Meadows offered cash from Trump campaign to investigator auditing Georgia's mail-in ballots.
Hey, if I give you a little money, you can make it move a little faster, huh? You help me out, man? One hand washes the other. They both wash it a face. Forget about it.
Dominic Mark Meadows is accused of offering financial assistance to state investigators. Yeah. You know, throw it in the policeman's ball. Something like that.
Yeah.
Financial assistance to state investigators during signature matching if they move faster as to finish by January 6th, the indictment reads. Legal analyst and former federal prosecutor Cynthia Alskany observed the little-known detail on page 45 in the Fulton County indictment relating to attempts to overturn the 2020 election that was released late Monday. Signature matching involved looking at absentee ballots, which need to have all signatures on their envelope, in an effort to see if any had been, let's just say, improperly filled out, Tom. On or about the 27th day of December 2020, Mark Randall Meadows sent a text message to the office of the Georgia Secretary of State Chief Investigator Francis Watson that stated in part, "Is there a way to speed up the Fulton County signature verification in order to have the results before January 6th if the Trump campaign assisted financially? What if we gave you some cash in a brown bag? You know, you stick it in a suitcase. Take it home."
Yeah, brown bag's too small.
The conclusion of the indictment says, Dom, this was an overt act in the furtherance of a conspiracy.
No. I was just helping out a friend.
That's a conspiracy. That's what I say, Dom. So all sorts of tidbits being sort of pulled out of the indictment, the details, the finer details, Dom. Mark Meadows, he's in trouble. He's trying to have he's trying to have it shifted to the federal courts, which would effectively be a dismissal of the state charges. And if he did so, he could claim that he was acting in his federal capacity. You know, when he was offering cash from the Trump campaign to investigators from the Secretary of State's office, if they could just keep it moving. Because
I mean, the fact that you're talking about cash from the campaign makes it specifically not government related. You know what I mean? It's not like you're getting cash from the IRS.
I'm just doing my job here as chief of staff to the president.
I'll get the IRS to send you some money. He's talking about paying him off from Trump's campaign account.
I do Diet Coke delivery.
That is not a function of government.
Well, the chief of staff's role is to deliver Diet Cokes and, you know, to broker payoffs, Dom. 844-967-2789. What a fine phone number it is. Cost you nothing to join us. Let me see. I don't even have him up.
I got it up. Let's get to it. Joe from Madison, you're up. Happy hump day, Joe. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joe.
Oh, wonderful stuff. Appreciate it so much, you guys. And I just wanted to comment on two things. First off, I think that Scott Ross won the award for the week in your previous segment when he referred to Derek Van Orten from the third, the rather inebriated guy at midnight who was screaming at the high school pages at the National Capitol. And I think he referred to him as Chug-a-Lug Van Orten. And I really hope you return to that. That is just lovely. It is so descriptive and right there. It's just a very poetic little thing. And then, Dom, I wanted to throw it into the mix here. You were wondering about the time of day that Trump could surrender. And as I understand it, and I could be wrong, but as I understand it, that he's going to be surrendering to the jail, the Fulton County Jail. And the sheriff has been quite blunt about saying that that jail is open 24 hours a day, as you might imagine, to take in people. Yeah, and as I understand it, and I don't have this for sure, but some have suggested that part of that intake includes, and I really would love this if this were true, height and weight.
Well, did he already disclose he was 6'3", 239 pounds, 1 pound below the morbidly obese threshold? I know, because I try to stay below that number myself.
I don't know, but I thought that's going to be a lovely moment. And I actually think somebody suggested that he might try to surrender at, say, 2 a.m. and try to avoid the crowds, which it gives a nice mental picture of some poor person who's, you know, hauled in from, I don't know, a DWI or something like that, and who's just ever get down the road.
Hey, man, what are you in for?
And so, coup d'etat.
Thank you, Joe. I certainly appreciate it. And great points. Thank you for bringing that
and
up.
And a great laugh.
Trump could potentially, if it's not the courthouse, then certainly it is the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office don't close. Thank you, Joe, for that. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate Scott Ross being in there and his bringing up all of Scott Walker's sins. It reminds me, there's a sci-fi book by Joel Haldeman that all my sins remembered. Well, all Scott Walker's sins should be remembered, including, you know, the sins he created prior to that, but when he was in a county executive, using the county office to run his campaign along with the collusion and participation of, it seems like, most of the staff in his county office there, with the Secret Service server and all that.
It hardly sounds like a political persecution of the former gubernator, the way he describes it.
Well, he should actually recognize the fact, and we should recognize the fact that when he was violating the law, he was violating the law at that time. If he thought the law was wrong, he should have taken action prior to his violation of the law to actually change the law, rather than getting the Supreme Court, the collusion of the Supreme Court at the time, to say, oh, this law is unconstitutional, even though in the past they declared it constitutional. I mean, just because this little Scotty Wanker and his, you know, ham sandwich campaign, well, screw that. I mean, that Scott Walker his ears should be pinned back at every opportunity.
Well, let's do so one more time. Remember when Scott Walker failed as a presidential candidate? Yes, 71 days, he was out by September 21st. Well, technically, that's when summer ends. You know, I know where
he got out, so another conservative candidate could come forward and defeat Donald Trump. And now he wants to host Donald Trump the debate next week.
Desperately, he's begging the guy, please, Trump, come make me relevant. 844-96 party, come back with us.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jay. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, some could be strong, otherwise mostly clear, breezy, and a low in the upper 50s to near 60. Sunshine, windy, but comfortable tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. More sun and low 80s Friday. Hot for the weekend. High temperatures climb well up into the 90s with sun. It's 82 right now.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us. 60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dom, I've got shocking and perhaps even heartbreaking news, not for you or I, but for most of Trump's lawyers. Apparently he's been stiffing them all, Dom. All of them. Didn't pay the Kraken, didn't pay the Giuliani. Really, he's been stiffing a whole series of lawyers.
Didn't he literally raise like $250 million? And that was a while ago. That number probably has gone up. Specifically for his legal defense fund?
Well, he's kind of tight on cash this week. Ask him next week.
All right.
We'll get to that, Dom. Trump reneged on handshake agreement to pay lawyers pushing false election claims. So
handshake agreement with Trump? Are you crazy? I mean, who does that? You deserve to get burned.
You know, I made some handshake agreements just in the last 2 days, Dom. But you're right. I would like to think my word is binding. Trump less so. Got a worse reputation. Four of former President Donald Trump's legal advisors listed as unidentified co-conspirators in the United States Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith criminal indictment for the alleged conspiracy to overturn the 2020 election were never paid. Despite the fact their lawsuits and false claims of election interference helped the Trump campaign and allied committees raise $250 million in the weeks following the November vote. According to CNBC's Brian Schwartz, Trump has a long history of not paying his bills, Schwartz writes, noting one of the people that he stiffed was Rudy Giuliani, the ex-New York City mayor who was Trump's personal defense counsel and a longtime personal friend. Now, in Trump's defense in regards to Rudy, Rudy offered to do the work pro bono because he was stiffing his ex-wife in the divorce.
Couldn't make any money.
If you remember, he had the pretty girl down at the office. He was paying her off the books for the sexual favors.
But then he also stiffed her. There's a lot of stiffing going on with these Republicans, at least as it pertains to their paying of the bills.
Dominic, Trump and Giuliani had a handshake agreement that Giuliani and his team would get paid by the Trump political operation for their post-election work. What fine work it was, too. Hasn't he been disbarred for that fine work?
Yes, and indicted.
According to Timothy Pelletor, a attorney for longtime Giuliani ally Bernard Carrick, Schwartz says, but the Trump campaign and their affiliated committees ultimately did not honor that pledge, according to the campaign finance records. The failure to pay Giuliani and his team came up last week in a private interview between the prosecutors on special counsel Jack Smith's team and Bernard Carrick, a member of Giuliani's team in late 2020, according to Parlator. Dom Schwartz recalls that the Federal Election Commission records and testimony from the House January 6th Select Committee hearing reveal that none of the private sector lawyers identified but not indicted in the case got paid their post-election work. Not Sidney Powell, Kenneth Cheesebro, or John Eastman. They all got stiffed. We've talked about Cheesebro.
If you're going to help perpetuate a criminal conspiracy and overthrow the government of the United States and disenfranchise, you know, millions and millions of voters, shouldn't you at least make a dime off it?
Dominic,
you know what I mean?
Trump reneging on his gentleman's contract with Giuliani, Schwartz observed, is all the more striking given that Giuliani was charged along with Trump by Fulton County DA Fani Willis for trying to steal the election in Georgia under the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's RICO, upon which Giuliani built his career as a federal prosecutor in the Southern District of New York. Ironic, don't you think, Dom? A little too ironic? I mean, if you stiff your lawyer and your lawyer is a co-defendant, a co-conspirator, but you never bothered paying him for the work. Now, I know Trump demands loyalty and expects loyalty, Dom, but how much loyalty do you get out of a Giuliani who hasn't been paid?
An Italian who's not been paid? Probably not much. I know, speaking from experience.
There's a little bit more here, Dom. You got this or you want me to take it?
No, go ahead. I do not have it. I have something else when you're done.
Trump's fundraising push after he lost to President Joe Biden is also under scrutiny by Smith, whom Politico's Betsy Woodruff, Swan, and Kyle Cheney explained on August 8th is investigating if Trump Save America Political Action Committee, and here's a quote, Dom, violated federal laws by raising money off claims of voter fraud they knew were false. That is what should send Trump to prison. Follow the money, right, dude? Follow the $250 million. That's a lot of money. It's easy to follow.
There's so many things that should send this man to prison. If you and I did a crudy, we'd be going to prison.
But if we committed fraud on the level of $250 million, if we misled people, hey, we were robbed. We got mugged on the street and there was a huge GoFundMe. And they raised $250 million. And they said, here's the money. We said, oh, but, you know, we didn't get robbed. And we knew we didn't get robbed. But we're still going to keep your money. And by the way, we're stiffing the lawyers.
Crudy, on that same, I guess, level, Rudy Giuliani, according to the Roar story here, the mobsters who he charged, they're very happy. Speaking to The Messenger, veteran mob lawyer Murray Rickman said that while most mobsters tend to be fans of Donald Trump, let's just pause for a moment. Most mobsters tend to be fans of Donald Trump. They have no love for Giuliani due to the fact that he was mainly responsible for breaking the back of the New York mob in the 80s when he was a federal prosecutor. You could quote me to say they're effing thrilled, Rickman said, adding they've spoken to some of his clients on the matter. All of them are almost unified in their position of hating effing Rudy, he said, adding that he thought Giuliani was a horribly dishonest prosecutor and the wheel of karma is about to crush him.
Karma's a bitch, man.
Ain't it, though? Ain't it, though? But isn't it ironic that my takeaway from this piece, the mobsters, they love themselves some Trump. Hell yeah, they do.
Well, he's one of them, Dom. You know, he knows how they speak operate.
A friend of mine or a friend of ours? You know what I mean?
Be a friend of the devil's advocates. Call us.
Be a friend of ours.
967-2789. More Crudy's friend than Dom's, though. Be careful around that guy.
I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Wildfires have killed 106 people and wiped out entire communities in Maui where survivors are struggling. Chris Burley's in Lahaina.
On the west side and up north, without power, without food, without water, without provisions, and they have no access to that.
FEMA says help is coming. Former President Trump and 18 others may not be arraigned till September 5th now in Georgia. CBS's Robert Costa.
What's important to understand about Georgia is that it's a microcosm for understanding what happened after the election in 2020. Trump and his allies seized on different states as a path to stay in power.
Families of the 10 people killed in a supermarket last year in Buffalo are suing companies who made the weapons used in the rampage. Mayor Byron Brown.
We must address the lack of responsible gun reform in our nation and the spreading of hate through social media.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. A town of Washington man is charged with homicide and is accused of beating his wife to death with a wine bottle in an apparent murder-suicide attempt. 81-year-old John Berthold told investigators that he tried to kill his wife and then attempted to end his own life on July 13th and that they had been considering a divorce, according to court documents. Eau Claire County officials said that his wife, Diane Berthold, was found dead at the scene at the couple's home. Bond was set at $2 million and the man will appear in court next month. Haymarket Landing in Eau Claire is up for sale as Foxconn attempts to sell multiple Wisconsin properties. The technology company had announced 5 years ago that the downtown location would be the host to an innovation center employing 150 people. The building is near the confluence and the price tag is $2.7 million. Foxconn said that it is selling the buildings to focus on development in Mount Pleasant in southeastern Wisconsin. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says that there's a chance of severe weather later today across northwestern Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap. This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the happier happy hour. Rolling through it, Tom. Still time for plenty of phone calls, plenty of takes. Just the hot ones, though. 844-967-2789. Dom, you sent me a hot take. That cheese bro guy.
Cheese bro. Don't be a cheese bro.
He's on the lam.
What?
Is he fleeing prosecution, Dom, or just a rich guy that lives overseas these days?
Isaac Stanley Becker from the Washington Post. And for those of you who stuck around in the first hour, we addressed Kenneth Cheesebro's background in an article here locally at the Urban Milwaukee, Bruce Murphy. But found this one also regarding Cheesebro on the Washington Post. I was going to read a little bit for you. Puerto Rico, the blinds were drawn at a handsome villa on an oceanfront gated community on the northern coast of this Caribbean island. Inside, a woman's voice could be heard calling out, Ken, but no one answered the door. Records show this is the tropical refuge of Kenneth J. Cheesebro. Some people call him Chesbro. That's wrong. A lawyer who allegedly marshaled supporters of Donald Trump to pose as electors in states won by Joe Biden in 2020, creating a pretext for Vice President Mike Pence to delay counting or disregard valid Electoral College votes on January 6th of 2021. Since then, Cheesebro, 62, has kept a low profile. He decamped to Puerto Rico from New York last year. He had like a $15 million penthouse, according to Urban Milwaukee. And some friends said he's fallen out of touch.
I hate when that happens, Dom, when a close friend who, you know, tries to overturn the government, and then he heads down to sunny Puerto Rico and he doesn't stay in touch.
A prominent law firm issued no public announcement last year when it tapped him to run a new department and added no mention of him to its website. And here's a Wisconsin tie, Crudy. Wisconsin lawyers handling a case against him in Wisconsin have told a judge they were unable to locate him. Unable to locate Kenneth Cheesebro, the architect, the author of the coup. Even the House Select Committee that investigated the pro-Trump attack on the Capitol did not depose him until last fall after it had interviewed more than 1,000 others and conducted public hearings because it had trouble finding him, according to a person.
That's the way he likes it, Dom. You know, sometimes you like your privacy.
To speak publicly. All right, but he's got to show up next week, man. Here, what are the odds? What are the odds Cheesebro shows up in Georgia next week?
I'd say pretty damn good. I mean, Puerto Rico is still part of the United States. You're getting extra.
Keep running.
You don't have to extradite from Puerto Rico, dude. You can get a guy back.
What do you think? I mean, what do you think's going through a man's head? I mean, he was living at large, as we noted. He worked for Lawrence Tribe, man. Went to school in Cambridge and did some stuff for Tribe.
Gave money to Russ Feingold.
Gave money to Democrats, supported, defended Democrats, and believed in liberal causes, and then made a bunch of money on Bitcoin, divorced his wife for 20 years, married a 21-year-old, and moved to Manhattan in a very expensive penthouse. And now he left that Manhattan to, hide out and the island, get the island life? Man, you got to wonder, does he smell the wet concrete and hear the scurry of the roaches in the prison cell? You better enjoy the beach, man.
The Ken I know would not have been involved with that, says Holly Hostrup, a lawyer who worked with Cheesebro about 20 years ago on litigation against the tobacco industry, back when he was a good guy, back before he got rich on Bitcoin and dumped the wife and married the 20-year-old. She was only 20, apparently. Might be 21 now. I have great respect for his legal skills and felt we were on the side of the angels in that litigation. It makes me wonder how he got sucked into this. Well, Dom, he wanted the tax break, apparently. Cheesebro and his attorney did not respond to requests for comment. As part of a rare interview with Talking Points Memo last summer, Cheesebro issued a statement saying, "It is the duty of any attorney to leave no stone unturned in examining the legal options that exist in a particular situation." This is what lawyers do. Is it? Is that what they do? You know, they explore all facets of the criminality with you, Dom. Lay it out there for you. The successful appellate lawyer studied at Harvard University under Lawrence Tribe, as mentioned, the preeminent legal scholar who advised congressional Democrats on both of Trump's impeachments. Cheesebro continued working with Tribe for about 20 years on wide-ranging litigation involving class action claims and punitive damages. But Friend said his politics seemed to shift after he reaped sizable returns with his investments in cryptocurrency in the past half decade. He began to stake out more of a libertarian position in legal briefs, especially in his home state of Wisconsin, where he started donating to Republicans and working with the former judge, Jim Troupas.
Jim Troupas.
We should all know that name. Make a note of that name, Jim Troupas. You hear the name Jim Troupas, just think Republican malfeasance in the state of Wisconsin. Troupas, who Cheesebro would later testify under oath, had brought him into Trump's orbit.
See, that was your first mistake.
He was not making good faith legal arguments for his client, said Tribe, who said he had been distressed to see his former mentee emerge as an architect of Trump's plan to cling to power. He was inventing legal fiction that paid no attention to the law and created a pretext for a conspiracy to steal an election. Cheese bro, pronounced cheese bro. After the family origins in the English borough on the River Cheese,
it's actually that's a River Cheese. River Cheese. That's the River Cheese.
Oh, my bad. River Cheese. Well, Tom, that's he was cheese, raised in Wisconsin Rapids. You can listen to us there on WFHR, locally grown radio, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Please make a note of it. But Cheese Bro was raised in Rapids, about 100 miles north of Madison, according to a relative who spoke on the condition of anonymity to share private details. His father was a music teacher. His mother was a speech therapist. I think he was always pretty liberal, said another relative, Emery Erickson, Cheese Bro's stepfather, who was no longer married to his mother. And after attending Northwestern, Cheese Bro went on to Harvard Law School, where some classmates knew him as the Cheese. He graduated in 86, the same year as Elena Kagan, the Supreme Court Justice, and a year ahead of Ron Klain, Biden's longtime aide and former White House chief of staff. All were research assistants for Tribe, the professor said. Dom, a brief detour in Washington involved a clerkship with Gerhard Gessel. We talked about that. Now, he was a prominent member during the Watergate trials in which he affirmed that it is impossible to preserve freedom anywhere when the zealots take over and the rule of law is ignored. Then Cheese Bro went back to Cambridge, Mass. To continue working with Tribe. That Cheese Bra.
Cheese Bra.
You can see why the 21-year-old girl was attracted to him. It was, you know, the Bitcoin millions, Sam, because that's why he's sort of a squirrely-looking fella.
Money is so sexy. Who apparently, according to the Urban Milwaukee reporting, has a big problem making eye contact. Because, you know, nothing says trust with an attorney who doesn't make eye contact. Jumping down in this Washington Post piece, anticipating the chaos, Cheese Bro began working with the Trump campaign about 6 days after the 2020 election at the request of who? Troopas. He would later tell the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack. Troopas, quote, wanted help from an appellate lawyer going forward to make sure he could adequately staff the case, Cheese Bro said. And so he asked me if I was willing to do that. I said, yeah. Memos and documents cited in the indictments in Washington and Atlanta show how Cheese Bro laid the legal foundation for dueling slates of pro-Trump electors. A November 18, 2020 memo from Cheese Bro urged Trump electors to meet and vote in Wisconsin because of the ongoing recount in the state, according to the indictment. Then Cheese Bro wrote on December 6, in a December 6 memo, that Trump electors should convene not just in Wisconsin, but in six contested states as a way to prevent Biden from amassing 270 electoral votes. The memo anticipated that Pence would not just open but count the sham votes, creating uncertainty about the election's true victor. In a memo 3 days later, federal prosecutors charged Cheese Bro provided instructions on how fraudulent electors could mimic legitimate electors. On December 13th, the day before the electors were to convene, Cheese Bro emailed Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani to argue that Pence could choose from among conflicting votes presented to Congress, according to documents released by the House investigators and cited in the Georgia indictment. The suggestion was at odds with how mainstream lawyers have long interpreted the U.S. Constitution's 12th Amendment and the Electoral Count Act of 1887. But Cheese Bro wrote that his proposal seems preferable to allowing the Federal Election Count, the Electoral Count Act, pardon me, to operate by its terms, according to the indictment. Cheese Bro went on to distribute instructions and draft certificates to sham electors in various states, prosecutors allege. In Wisconsin, he attended the meeting of the Trump electors held at the state capitol, the state GOP chairman said in his deposition before the House committee. The committee also asked Cheese Bro in his deposition about the documents showing he was on a list to attend a December 16th meeting at the White House. He declined to answer, as he did with many of the committee's questions, invoking attorney-client privilege and the Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination on Christmas Eve, as he and Eastman sized up the chances that four Supreme Court justices, the number needed to take a case, would agree to hear an election-related complaint. Cheese Bro wrote in an email cited by the House committee that the justices might be moved to act if they feared chaos on January 6th. And as they write here, the Washington Post, and we all know that chaos came.
Dominic, I'd like to jump a little farther back in the piece and tie down some more Wisconsin roots for Cheese Bro. You know, back when he was making his crypto fortune. Back then, Cheese Bro seemed like a committed Democrat. He donated to the Clinton-Gore campaign and John F. Kerry's 2000 Senate campaign. And when Tribe invited him to a fundraiser for Barack Obama's Senate campaign in 2004, Cheese Bro responded with effusive praise for the rising Democratic star, also a former Tribe research assistant. He wrote that the candidate's speech at that year's Democratic National Convention recalled the oratory of Abraham Lincoln, according to emails first reported by the newsletter Airmail and reviewed by the Washington Post. And he mused that Obama would make a pretty good Supreme Court justice. When Obama was elected president 4 years later, and Tribe thought he might be appointed to a position at the Justice Department, Cheese Bro helped his former professor anticipate right-wing lines of attack, according to correspondents from the time. And then he got rich, Dom. In 2014, Cheese Bro invested in a Bitcoin fund overseen by Grayscale, a cryptocurrency asset manager. He would later write to Tribe, he had invested a low six-figure sum and ended up making several million dollars when he sold in 2017. Then after prices crashed in 18, well, what do? Dom, you reinvest the profits.
Double down, baby.
Dom, perhaps not surprisingly, in 2016, he changed his party registration in Massachusetts from Democrat to unaffiliated, according to the Cambridge Elections Commission. And around the same time, the political bent of his legal briefs became less predictable, according to friends and colleagues. Earlier that year, he joined with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Dom loves those guys. A conservative firm based in Milwaukee, to file an amicus brief supporting the state legislature's ban on residency requirements for most municipal jobs. Requirements favored by the Democratic-leaning city. You know, like the cops in Milwaukee must live in Milwaukee.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. That's been a big shift. 4 months later, he worked with John Eastman. We've heard of that guy, Dom. A constitutional lawyer affiliated with the right-wing Claremont Institute on an amicus brief that cast birthright citizenship, the constitutional guarantee that anyone born in the United States is a citizen, as a vestige of feudal times. Get rid of that. Eastman, yeah, who would go on to advise Trump after the 2020 election, did not respond to questions about his relationships with Cheese Bro. He was also indicted Monday in Georgia. There's more about his connections to Wisconsin, Dom, that Cheese Bro, he's been filthy in the state. And suddenly, the former liberal working for Lawrence Tribe, he hits it rich, gets rich, I tell you. I'm rich, bitch. I sold my Bitcoin, I got rich. And suddenly, he turned all Republican. That's not too surprising, is it? And now he's been charged under RICO Suave laws. And he's hiding out in Puerto Rico last time we checked. So come back with us. You too, Cheese Bro. Hope he's listening. Your phone calls, last opportunity today. 844-96-PARTY. It's a party up in here.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosure.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply.
You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, some could be strong, otherwise mostly clear, breezy, and a low in the upper 50s to near 60. Sunshine, windy, but comfortable tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. More sun and low 80s Friday. Hot for the weekend. High temperatures climb well up into the 90s with sun. It's 82 right now.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And welcome back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the people are partying in the streets here in Madison. It's jazz at 5. I can hear the music playing. State Street closed down. All the people out there gathering. Beautiful day here.
Stay focused, Crudy. Stay focused.
Well, I'm staying focused. Still time for your calls at 844-967-2789. Our pal from the leftist coast, Tom in Elway. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, we the people. Hey, Doc. First off, we the people out of the government, we must never forget that. We have to get money out of politics, but then restore government back to we the people. Second, I was going to request that you guys pull up some clips from the past and maybe start playing them again. But Mr. Foxconn and Wisconsin people.
Thank you, Mr. Foxconn. Mr. Foxconn.
Yeah. And then also... Donald Trump talking about what a great deal Foxconn was.
It's wonder in the world they built here.
Exactly. And then also, you know, the Ron Johnson one where I see nothing. That's also a very good one. But yeah, pull out some of the hits from the past and play those because I think people really need to, the Republicans really need to be labeled with Foxconn right on their forehead everywhere you go. Because they definitely have conned the, you know, the honest people in Wisconsin and the, you know, regular Americans in Wisconsin. They totally have conned them over.
Well, Tom, the saddest part is best case scenario when Robin Voss came to the podium and I was in the assembly parlor that day at the Wisconsin Capitol, plopped my ass down in the front row. Cause you know, I like to be close to the action, Tom. And at that time, he was promising these well-paying jobs would be $13 an hour. That's $26,000 a year. We gave out $4.5 billion in incentives, and perhaps they're not all going to pay off.
Yeah, we offered.
Yeah, but we're already on the hook for like $1 billion just in infrastructure on something that's never going to come to realization. But the upside were $13 an hour jobs.
Yeah, I just don't know because, you know, people lost their homes and everything, too, because of eminent domain.
Utilizing the heavy hand of government, Tom, to kick people out of, in some cases, newly built homes so that they could make a political play to bring Foxconn, quote unquote, into Wisconsin for Trump and for Scott Walker. It was all a ruse and people lost their homes because of political games played by Scott Walker. And now Foxconn is, you know, selling off their innovation centers around them, big media market cities that they bought up. What a joke. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for listening, Tom. You know, Foxconn's been in it for the long game, Tom. You know, buy and hold real estate. 844-967-2789. Northwoods, Terry. Welcome, Terry. What do you got for us?
Hello, Terry.
Hi, guys. I believe I heard this on an earlier broadcast, but anyway, it went like this. One of the guys on there, the guest, said, when Trump was trying to figure out which party he was going to run under, Democrat or Republican, he decided to run under Republican because they're easier to BS. So next time I see a Trump sticker on a fender flopper going down the road, I'm going to have to pull over and roll in a ditch and laugh. So,
well, as long as you don't push that guy into the ditch, because if he voted for Trump, no. He's got enough problems already, Terry.
Well, I thought that was very telling. They're easier to BS. So I thought that was very telling.
Well, yeah. If your goal is to grift all the money you can from the American people, start with the dumb ones. Or the grand old party, as they like to call themselves. 844-967-2789. Wendy in Appletown. Welcome, Wendy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Wendy.
Well, you know, the United States used to be the leader in democracy. Now I think we're the leader in mockery because of what's going on. And I just wonder if we're the laughing stock of the world right now.
No, we got big defense budgets. We still got all the guns, so no one's laughing to our faces, Wendy.
Wendy, it is tough, and I totally get that. And I think, you know, this test is ongoing. You know, it doesn't end when Trump is either brought to justice or gets away with it, which is a constant battle. So it's not whether or not, you know, it's how we react to this kind of headwind that is going to define us, Wendy. So, I mean, yes, I certainly believe when Donald Trump was president, we absolutely were the laughing stock. I don't think there's any question there. But how we react as a society, as a democracy, as a country built on laws and not of men, will be telling, and that's a constant battle. Thanks for the call, Wendy.
844-967-2789. Paul from Monona. Welcome, Paul. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Devils. Nice to hear you guys again today. So in terms of that last caller who had that thing about Donald Trump saying he would run for, you know, the Republican Party because they were more gullible, much as I want to believe that, that was actually debunked. But, oh, my God, is it still true?
Well, debunked in what regard? I mean, the guy used to be supportive of many Democratic policies. He used to sit on the Planned Parenthood board in New York, I believe. You know,
I used to listen to him on the Howard Stern show, and he was quite liberal and very in tight with Hillary and Bill Clinton. And somehow that changed. But actually, I read that I would run as a Republican because they're more gullible. That was actually debunked, as much as I want it to be true, because it really is.
But the sentiment's true, Paul. You know what I'm saying? The sentiment's true.
Absolutely.
Whether or not he ever said the words publicly.
Right. You know, I think the Republicans look at it this way, Paul. You have to infer the statement was said.
Yeah. Oh, but it broke my heart when I heard that.
Yeah. Well, we want to be truthful and honest on it, Paul. We appreciate you bringing it up. 844-967-2789.
Is somebody fact-checking the greatest radio show ever?
Come on, man. That's okay.
Perhaps we're bringing you alternative facts.
It's a thing now. It's a thing. Isn't it, CJ? Hey, CJ, welcome. Your boy's getting indicted. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's spaghetti on the wall.
You know what? I don't care what CJ thinks, because F his feelings. That's what a Trumpster would say, right? F your feelings. That's what I say to you, CJ. F your feelings, man. I don't care what you think. I'm feeling quite
come on, man.
Fuzzy and exuberant about the newest round of.
I had to say. I haven't heard from
him. Well, he'll call back tomorrow, man. The guy's trolling us each and every day around here. Stick around.
I guess they're going to have to try again tomorrow, CJ. We'll be back tomorrow. We're here every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central.
I'm not even done broadcasting for the day, Dom. I'm going to be part of the Empowered Caregiver Show after 7 o'clock right here on the Civic Media Network. Liza Hellenbrand, the host thereof, featuring a number of Civic Media hosts. William Walter is going to be on there. Phil Neve from Richland Center. Yours truly. Others. It'll be a cavalcade of stars. Maggie Dawn is next, then the Empowered Caregivers, and then Rick Smith. Keep it locked, all you patriots, on the Civic Media app.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay, Reese's. Reese's.
Reese's. Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Bobby, did we get that ship in a mesquite?
Jim's woodworking shop worked fine. Good fit on those Japanese corners. Until half his staff retired.
Wow, those cuts are neat. I'm really going to miss your precision.
He needs four skilled woodworker bees ASAP.
All right, this jigsaw needs a new blade.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.